Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Because all of these things in nature exist for a purpose, and they exist to define and inform that which carries them. And if you start messing, this is horrifying science fiction.
I can make
this
can,
is worse where than
have you been, where have you been for the last 15 years?
I just read it today.
Reading Kevin Durant's
tweet. I'm a little late to this. I grant you, but I'm now horrified.
Yeah. Well, this argument is, you know, this thing has been opened up long, long ago, and what's happening with the
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Don't give me too much credit. I've spent 95% of my life as a sports writer.
I don't understand larger
issues of CRISPR and genetic modification. I don't get that. I'm Tony Kornheiser. I am broadcasting. Stop the hammering!
Who's the hammering? What floor is it on?
I'm broadcasting from Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Streets Northwest. We are a full-service, for-profit restaurant. Let me emphasize, for-profit. We got to get some people in here. Gary Braun is with us. Chris Saliz is with us. Michael Kornheiser is with us. Nigel is going to run the board. Our first announcement, a new Little. This is from Scott Ledour in Harbor Springs, Michigan. As the Littles rejoice at your return from summer break, I want to enclose the birth announcement from my daughter, Isabel Hope Ledour, born in April. I tried to convince my wife to give her the middle name of La Chiserie, but she objected. Whenever I play the intro music for your podcast in the car, she laughs and squeals. I want to thank you and the gang for the laughs and insight over the years. And then he lists these things. My one neighbor is retired. The other runs a local resort. The commute is left, right, left, right, left into the parking lot. I currently have a pen and a phone in my pocket. I would evacuate if the hurricane were bearing down on me. For lunch, I will have sweet potato bisque. Did I hit all the important questions? Thank you for all of those things. Happy New Year to people out there celebrating, and Happy New Year to those not celebrating, because it's always nice for somebody to say Happy New Year. Bobby is here. Bobby has one for Temple Sinai in case somebody needs one later, which is good. Because those things only go for yearly dues of about five bills. So I thought we would start with baseball, just on the heels of what we talked about yesterday, though admittedly, Gary and Chris were
not
here.
You got a turn in your pocket?
We're going to get to that eventually. Yeah. But the home runs. Giancarlo Stanton now 56. I think, to me, the home run record is 61.
Totally agree.
61 is the home run record. He's got, what, 8 or 9 games left? He's at 56. Aaron Judge, 45. Aaron Judge went into a terrible slump after the home run derby. But his stats will tell you that he had an unbelievable year. 100 RBI, 100 runs, 100 walks, 800 strikeouts. Mike Moustakas broke a record that was probably the smallest record in all of baseball in terms of one-year season home run record. Kansas City Steve Balboni had 36. That's all, 36. Yeah. So that means nobody took steroids in Kansas City. And Mike Moustakas just got to 37. The Dodgers have lost 4 in a row to the Phillies, who are awful. They beat the Nats 2 out of 3. They're going to win their division. But I wouldn't be afraid of them in the playoffs at this point. And all of these things, you know, let me just start with Stanton. What do you think? You think he gets it? And do you think he's juicing? Did you see him in one of those half-sleeve shirts? He's like Chris Cuomo.
Suns out, guns out.
Let's not go too far. This doesn't preclude him using PEDs, but he is a giant human.
As is Aaron Judge.
Right. He is
He's
6'5". I mean, he's big. Yeah. And he has always hit a lot of home runs. Now, he has not hit this many
he
gets hurt.
Yes, he doesn't play 162.
I mean, the one I always point to is when it's so anomalous. Do you remember that year right in the middle of the steroid era where Brady Anderson hit 52
he went from 19
runs?
to plus 50. Yeah.
And you were like, it seems odd that mid-career he found that.
Did a lot of off-season work in the cage.
Right. Stanton... Yeah. You know, he's a big guy. He's always hit a lot of home runs. And we've never seen really a complete picture because he does often get hurt. So,
do we believe in the testing? Do we think the testing is legitimate?
For one, believe that cheaters are always ahead of testers.
Right.
Always. I agree with you. Right.
Now, I don't say that to suggest that he's using. I'm only giving the benefit of the doubt.
But if you wanted to set up a series of dots that you could connect.
Testing can be beaten, in my opinion.
And Miami is notorious. Yes. for being a
haven for drug test beating.
Yes, so
yeah.
But so, I'd like to believe that he's completely clean.
Well,
and if he hits 62, I would say in my mind, well, that was the
I don't think he does that. 10 games remaining. 6 and 10 games.
He gets high.
I don't know. Maybe he's hit him on back maybe Brett Favre days. Comes in and grooves one for him.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
he did for Strahan.
Yeah.
Aaron, I just looked up Aaron Judge's stats because he.
What's his batting average?
That's what I wanted.
Way low.
277.
That's
good. Well, he got to back
up.
That's
a home run hitter. Yeah, yeah. Reggie Jackson's career batting average is below that.
I mean, I would have thought
these
numbers
ago,
are incredible. 277, 45 home runs. 101 RBIs. You take that every season forever.
Of course you
you're
do.
You're a Hall of Famer.
There's a lot of strikeouts.
And
there's
he's like Gronkowski size, right? I mean, he's
six
like
6'7", 282.
He's a football player.
Yeah.
He's really large. He's really large.
I'm looking at Baseball Reference. I do want to see if I can find. Let's see how many times he struck out because it is a vast number.
He's bigger than Stanton. Taller.
Yes, no, he's bigger and weighs more.
And I don't pay as much attention as you guys, but if I had to guess who number three is, and I'm sure he isn't, I would say the Nat Killer Freeman has about 800 home runs.
Well,
he
did it last night to Gio Gonzalez. Another one. I would trade for him just to get him to stop batting against me.
If all you did was watch him in Nat's pitching, you'd think he had 400
home runs. Gio Gonzalez last night went 7. He only gave up 3 hits, 2 earned. He's now 15-7 with a 2.68 ERA. So when the Nats go to the playoffs and they throw in order Scherzer, Strasburg, and Gio, that's pretty good. Those all three guys are under 2.7, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Under 2.7 with an ERA. All three of those guys have around 15 wins.
Now, Gio has had a brilliant year.
Yes, he has.
And if he pitches like he's been pitching all year, they should have a very long run in the postseason. But in the back of your mind, when he takes
don't
the
trust
mound,
him.
Yeah, you think that he's going to be up to 100 pitches by
in
the third
inning. In the third inning.
I totally
agree. And walking around the mound, talking to himself.
Taking his hat off, running his hands through his hair.
But not in the scary Scherzer way, in the crazy I've lost it way.
Right, in that way. Did you see what Chris Sale did? We're going around the world here with baseball. Chris Sale last night. Now, Chris Sale, if you look him up, you will see that statistically, after the All-Star break, in almost every single year, he is a far diminished pitcher, including this year. He is a diminished pitcher. But last night, against the Orioles, who have fallen,
Orioles, they're last, aren't they?
They're next to last.
Yeah.
They're 7 under .500. They were contenders for the wild card until 2 weeks ago. They're terrible right now. But Chris Sale last night goes 8 innings, gives up 4 hits, has 13 strikeouts on the road. 13 strikeouts. And by the way, nobody's going to Camden Yards.
There's no one there.
Nobody's at Camden Yards.
No. Well,
he now has 300 strikeouts for the year, joining only Pedro Martinez as a Boston pitcher who ever had 300. And Pedro, that's august company, Pedro Martinez. I think he's probably going to win the Cy Young. He's 17-7, 2.75 ERA, and 300 strikeouts.
It'll look nice in a Nats uniform.
They could have gone after him.
I know.
I mean, everybody went after him.
Judge, 199 strikeouts. Stanton, 153 strikeouts.
I mean, that's more than one a game.
Stanton's season is stunning. 279, 56 home runs, 120 RBIs. Yeah. Did you watch the Nats game at all last night, Tom?
A little bit. First 4 innings.
I had never seen. So I watched.
Did you see
more
how they scored
it
at the end?
This is what
four walks.
They walked the bases loaded. With the bases loaded, they walked 3 straight guys, which I'd never seen before. They went from down 2-1 to up 4-2 on walks.
That's very bizarre.
You know, interesting. I'm looking at Chris Sale's splits, and in terms this season anyway. I know historically it's even more pronounced. His record was 11-4 in the first half. He's 6-3 in the back half. But the ERA is virtually identical.
So then he's having a better second half this year than usually.
Yeah, although not statistically. He's given up more homers. More
so they become a scary team in the playoffs. Even though you think that Houston and Cleveland are by far the best teams, they become scary for this reason. David Price goes to the bullpen. And David Price in the bullpen is spectacular. This is like, or has been in the past, in postseason play with Tampa. Terrible starter, great reliever. If he becomes like John Smoltz or Andrew Miller, if he's in there game after game after game, then they become a big threat. This year, the baseball playoffs look very interesting.
Playoffs.
Speaking of playoffs, yesterday on the Pardon the Interruption show,
PTI,
we had Justin Verlander on.
Is that what it's called?
We had Justin Verlander
on. No, that was still on.
He's a great talker. He talked about... So we asked him... apparently what happened was the day of... The last hour of the ability to trade a player was 11 o'clock at night. So it's after a... He's with the Tigers. He's pitched with the Tigers his whole life. He sees that his name is out there all the time, but it is now... They've already played... It's 11 o'clock at night. He figures, well, you know, I'm staying with the Tigers. He gets a call.
I'd be among the first to know, you would think.
He
right?
gets a call at 10 after 11 at night from the general manager, and he realizes this is it. And the general manager says, look, do you want to go to Houston? We have put together a deal. It's up to you. I mean, he's vested. He's got all these things.
Right.
He says, do you want to go to Houston? And he's walking around his apartment. And now I think it helps because as he explained that he had – Kate Upton with him.
Well, which I was going to say, how many Kate Upton? How many Kate Upton?
Can I bring the girl
were
there?
he's saying, now I'm talking to Kate, and he is utterly unself-conscious as he reveals all of these things. He's smart and a fabulous interview. We've had him on 3 or 4 times over the last 6 or 7 years, and he's great all the time. He says, I'm talking to Kate, and I have to make a decision. I have about a minute left. I have to do this. The Tigers have sent somebody over to the lobby of the apartment with the sheet that he has to sign by 12 o'clock to do this. And he's talking to Kate. And he goes, and I I'm inclined to do it. And Kate just looks at me and he says, I say, screw it. And Kate says something. Yeah, let's go. Now, the thing she says is, as he says on the air, I really can't say exactly what she said on the air, but she said blank,
four letters, and it wasn't heck.
Blank, yeah, let's go. Let's go. And so we decide to go. So I then say, I ask what is seems to me the reasonable question is, if she's not there with you in that moment, do you go? And he says, I think I probably do. It helped that she was there, but I think I probably do. So we now have...
And it would help that she's there at all times.
At all times. So this is like 3.5... It's like 7 or 8 questions you have, and the first one just took 3.5 minutes, and you know how it... Like, nobody else would know this here because nobody else ever really worked on newspapers and did any reporting other than Chris, but you
Ouch.
Know when you...
Wow.
What? You did.
I mean, no one here is a reporter or did anything, you know,
except
related
Chris.
To journalism.
Well, Gary didn't, and Michael didn't, and Nigel didn't.
Except Chris came
I
a little
did work
late.
At the school paper.
But here's the point is, you are talking to somebody, and you know that this is a great, great answer. It's just great. You want it to go on forever because it's so good. It's revealing every layer of the onion. And he was... We did, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes with him, and every single thing he said was like that. Like he said, we asked him, well, what was it like? You've been in Detroit for 13 years. You're now walking into the Houston locker room. Never been. What did that feel like? And he said, it was like the first day of high school. It was like you get out of middle school, but you're going to another high school, and you don't know anybody, and you're very nervous about it, and you want to be on your best behavior, and you want the kids to like. And nobody answers like this.
You know, it's so.
You think Nick Saban answers like this?
Did you hear, as a contrast to that, did you hear what Gruden said? They asked Gruden about Jordan Reed's health. He's not healthy now. Got to get him healthy. Oh, that's helpful. It's so funny you mention that because as a reporter, when you find someone like that,
it's the
greatest thing ever. I bold it and ital it and be like, make sure to call this person again because you so rarely get someone who is honest,
Justin Verlander,
and candid, and articulate. Those are the three, and speaks in sentences that are understandable. You know, it's not a million run-on sentences, and it's a rare find.
All right, let's get out of here. We will come back with Mike Freeman. We'll talk about the NFL. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Because we talked about sports a lot in that segment, this is the SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy, and that's SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just 2 taps of your phone. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person. SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek saves you time, saves you money. It searches multiple ticket sites to compare prices, find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. So make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And be smart. Be like Chris Saliza.
That's right.
And if you're a listener of this show, you will get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase, as Chris did. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony, T-O-N-Y, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
For once I was right, I know what I said. I've never been right before.
This is from Brad Taylor in Lima, Ohio.
For once I was right, do not be misled.
Is it Lima or Lima, Ohio?
I think it's Lima.
Lima, Ohio.
Like the bean.
Well, Lima's like...
Once I can say,
are you getting lyrics?
I believe that I had that, and since you did not, well, you know you can eat it. For once I was right, I can stick it to Tony.
He writes, Brad Taylor does, I've wanted to submit a jingle for years, but this is my first attempt. I had written most of the lyrics to a jingle to the tune of That Thing You Do, but another little beat me to it. So when Mike Freeman said last week that if he had a song, it would be called For Once I Was Right, I immediately thought of Sinatra's For Once in My Life. I can't do justice to old Blue Eyes, but hopefully this will be the satisfactory intro jingle the next time Freeman's on the show. Freeman's on the show. You feel good about that?
That's fantastic. That is so great.
It's always,
that might be the highlight of my life.
Well, it's always wonderful that's when really people great. Who contribute to the show, and this has happened with Kirk Gin and it's happened with Justice, when they get jingles for them and we play it for them.
Right, they love
they're
it.
Always thrilled.
Welcome to the big, son.
Yeah.
I got my own jingle, baby.
That's right.
I made it.
Yeah. All right, let's start. And I know that this happened last week or last Sunday. But actually, Monday, but it resonates with me to this moment, and that is Ben McAdoo saying of Eli, first, put this loss on me, and then within 10 seconds, saying sloppy quarterback play. This is, Mike, Eli Manning may be in decline, but he's got two Super Bowls. Who is Ben McAdoo to say this, and what are the reverberations on this?
I'm with you. I still find that pretty remarkable that he... He said that, and I know there are some people that say, well, good, you know, coaches just speak this bluntly, but like you said, who the hell's Ben McAdoo?
Yeah.
And no offense, but, I mean, Eli's not played well the last few years.
No, he's in decline. He's in decline.
He's definitely in decline, but he is still a solid option. He's won two rings against both of them against Belichick and Brady, by the way.
Yes.
I think he does deserve a little more respect than that. But there's no question that this is, you know, and Eli has since taken the high road and basically just said, he can say, McAdoo can say what he wants. He's a coach. So he's taking the high road. But this is really, there's not a whole lot of instances I can remember where a coach talked about a two-time Super Bowl winner that way. It's just very rare. So this will be interesting to watch to see how the votes. But you also hit on another point, Tony. I mean, he is in decline.
Yes.
Like, he does not look good. I mean, there's just one play where he just, like, no one contacts him and he just falls down.
Peyton-like.
And it was crazy. So he is in decline. But he's their best option. They're not going to go out and find – I mean, if you look at the quarterback play around the league, it's so bad. They're not going to find anyone better. So that was really – it's still like you – I'm still surprised that happened.
He also, just having watched a lot of Giants games, if there's a top five worst body language among professional athletes, he has to be in it. I mean, he constantly looks like he's just been told his childhood dog died. Like he's
well,
he's
Cutler like, is one on
Cutler.
That.
Yeah, well, Cutler's yeah, obviously. I mean, I feel, but he's every time he walks off the field, it's like you think, well, we're gonna lose. I mean.
Here, one of the problems, and Mike, I think this is a real problem. Peyton Manning is one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
He is. And even when he was in decline, what people said of him was, well, he can still run the team. And he can still muster up enough on one pass that one pass can help the team. And Eli Manning, even with two Super Bowl rings, suffers in comparison to Peyton, don't you think?
Yeah, and well, first of all, Cutler is out there looking like he's like smoking a cigarette. He's by far the worst.
Right. Right.
The comparisons, you're right, to his brother. But I'll say this also a little bit in Eli's defense, and it also shows you how good this player is. It's just a different offense without Beckham, and Beckham's not healthy. He wasn't there the first week. And the offense just dramatically changes. And, you know, Brandon Marshall's supposed to help, but he's done basically nothing. So that there are a lot of things working against Eli, and I think once Beckham gets back in, you'll see Eli pick it up a little bit. But this is a little bit worrisome in New York.
That entire division looks a little bit weak. And LaDainian Tomlinson calling out Ezekiel Elliott like that. Now, at least Jason Garrett has his back to some degree and said he's a great competitor, but we'll talk about this particular thing. But LaDainian Tomlinson's in the Hall of Fame. He's not some stooge, you know, on the corner. And he called out Ezekiel Elliott. What are you hearing about that?
It was a pretty blunt assessment by LaDainian, who will occasionally do that. I mean, and when it comes from a guy who was so good and hustled so hard, as Tomlinson always did, and fought so hard, it carries extra weight. And that play was, I mean, that was kind of bad. I mean, I've seen that happen before, but I usually see it on teams that are awful, and guys are like, oh, just screw it, man,
yeah.
And we're terrible.
Yeah.
Right? But you don't see it normally with a team that has, number one, such a great pro at quarterback in Prescott, and a team that's winning and is good. And, I mean, that's pretty bad. So Tomlinson wasn't out of line. But I'm a little bit with you. It was very, very strong words. And he's not alone in thinking that. There's guys around the league who have sort of said the same thing, just privately. So I think you're going to see he's gotten a lot of talking to from people this week. And you're going to see a different Dallas team. But the other point you hit on, Tony, this division just is kind of shaky.
Good. Yeah, it's not good, right?
It's just not great.
Nope.
And I don't know where it's going to go from here, but I thought it would be a lot better. I thought the Cowboys would be a lot better at this point. They still may be, but it's just not a good division.
So we mentioned Jay Cutler, and this is the best of all possible worlds for me, because Wilbon loathes Jay Cutler beyond comprehension. And the fact that Jay Cutler won in his debut, it just every time I can, I say to Wilbon, how's Jay Cutler doing now? How's Jay Cutler doing now? What do you make of Cutler? I mean, he was going to be a broadcaster. It's hard to turn down $10 million. I have some knowledge of broadcasting money, and it's not $10 million.
Speak for yourself.
Maybe Chris makes $10 million. I don't. So what do you make of that? What is his rep around the league? Because he can fling it. He can.
I'm with Wilbon. Cutler's awful.
Awful. Okay.
But if there's one scenario where it could work, it's that one, because the head coach there and Cutler worked together before. So there's hope that that guy can sort of keep Cutler from being Cutler,
right?
And keep him from making all kinds of mistakes, and so there's hope that he can change Cutler and make him less error prone. Now, I'm just saying, Cutler, for his whole career, he will stand before you and look so great, and you will say, "Oh my God, this guy, he can do it," and you get behind him. And then he'll throw a pick six and crush your heart.
Yes, yes.
He does it every time. So I don't know how it's going to be different, but he fits into that system well, and that team has some talent around it. It's got some offensive talent. It's got some defensive talent. They can do some things if Cutler does play within himself and not become Cutlerian. That's my word.
Understandable.
And so if they can do all that, he can do some damage there. But I'm just telling you, Tony, I'm with Wilbon. We've seen this before, where we all start saying, oh, he looks okay. Maybe he can do it this time. And then he just stomps on your guts.
Here's what's great, because we played Freeman in with, for once I was right. Freeman, 2 to 3 years ago, went on this show, and said of Indianapolis, they are an emerging superpower. How does that taste right now, Freeman?
It's a long emergence.
Well, that's why that song is so special, because for once, in that one instance, I was right, and most of the time I'm wrong. And oh my God, the Colts look so awful.
Awful beyond words.
I mean, really awful. And it shows you, I mean, we obviously know how important the quarterback position is. That's an obvious thing, but you really see it when not only does your quarterback, you get your quarterback hurt all the time, but if you don't protect your quarterback, that's even worse. And that's what happened. They didn't draft offensive linemen. They didn't draft guys to protect Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck got decimated.
Yes, he did.
And so now this is what happens. And they also, by the way, just drafted horribly at every other position. So here you are. And they have a new GM in there, but the coach is going to get fired.
He is.
New GM's going
to
bring in
If they
in
lose
guy.
To Cleveland this Sunday, he could get fired by Monday, right?
He could get fired pretty soon.
Yeah.
Because I think that's always the case, Tony. As you know, the new GM comes in, he wants to bring in his guy, his coach. And this is not his coach, and they're terrible. So they're a long way from being just anything good. They just completely screwed up
but
there.
But there's a real question here, Mike. The real question is, what's the deal with Andrew Luck? What is going on? Pagano swears that he doesn't know any more than he has said so far. But is it possible Andrew Luck doesn't play at all?
I think that is the question.
By the way, can you hear this noise? Can you hear the leaf blowers?
What?
Who are right outside the studio? Can you hear that? Because everybody else can hear that who's listening. It's very funny. All right, go ahead. Tell me about
the hammers.
Tell me about Luck.
They can block for Andrew Luck probably better than the current line.
Right.
No one knows. You know, it's his shoulder, but they're being so circumspect and purposely, I don't want to say misleading, but they're just not going into detail.
Feels that way.
Luck isn't talking.
Right.
Luck's not saying anything. No one really knows, and he hasn't practiced in months.
You know what it feels like, Mike? It feels like next year Andrew Luck's going to be on another team.
That's kind of what I think. But I don't know. It will be hard to pull that off because of the money. But I that's definitely my instinct. It just doesn't feel like he wants to be there, and I don't blame him.
Right.
I mean, would you want to be there with that?
No.
They're in a good 3-4 year rebuild mode.
No,
they got
it's
nothing
it's
not there. So I wouldn't blame them.
I'll get you out of here on this. Detroit Atlanta looks like a big game. It's in Detroit. And the early line is Atlanta -3. I'm surprised by that. I guess it means that people don't trust Detroit at all.
It means that, I think it means more, Tony, that people are more impressed with Atlanta. Atlanta, you know, the way they lost the Super Bowl was obviously just devastating. But right. They're still really good. And Julio Jones right now is just,
he's great.
I mean, he's the best receiver in football. He's just so good. And so they can be pretty much beat anybody unless it's the Patriots. And then it's more about that. But I liked the Lions from the beginning. I said, very beginning of the year, Stafford will be an MVP candidate, and people laughed at me. So we may be able to play that jingle maybe one more time.
Thank you, Mike.
Towards the end of the season. Thanks, Tony.
We'll talk to you. Mike Freeman of BleacherReport.com. We will take a break. We will come back with news, right? And I think James Carville, who was 2-1 last week, I think Carville will join us when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Okay, so this is the MeUndies read, but we have the female version.
All right.
We're going to read the female version of the MeUndies.
Oh, yeah.
MeUndies will be the most comfortable, this is aimed at women now. MeUndies will be the most comfortable pair of underwear you will own. Made from a sustainably sourced, naturally soft fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton, they are super breathable, too. MeUndies has tons of different colors and styles to fit whatever your preference is. Boy short, bikini, thong, something for everyone. So many cute colors and styles to choose from. Solids, patterns, bright colors, lace, which Chris likes.
Oh, yeah.
One for every mood and every occasion.
Something for you, Chris.
Once you feel MeUndies for yourself, you will love them. They are so comfortable and touchable.
They will set the tone for your day to be a boss. They are so amazing. And there's 100% satisfaction guarantee. They guarantee you'll love your undies or your money back. So right now, MeUndies has an exclusive offer just for my listeners. So it's the same. Get 20% off your first pair and free shipping. And MeUndies is so sure you'll love the underwear, they even offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You order a pair. If you don't love your first pair, you get a free full refund. It's a no-brainer to try. 20% off, free shipping, 100% satisfaction guarantee. What are you waiting for? To get your 20% off free shipping and the 100% satisfaction guarantee and get the best and softest underwear you'll ever own, go to MeUndies.com/TonyK. That's MeUndies.com/TonyK. It's a limited time offer. Jump on it. Start wearing the best underwear of your life. Again, it says it changed my life, but I don't wear a lot of women's underpants.
Well, not a lot.
It's time to let MeUndies change yours. Go to MeUndies.com/TonyK right now.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a band from Dover, Delaware called Jay Paris. Not Jay Crew, but Jay Paris.
Jay Paris.
Sure, that's not Jay Pelly?
Could be Shea Perry, for all I know. This is called Until I Die. They did not send an email, so we don't have any further information. But, no. Michael, if people want to submit with emails or not, original music, how do they do it?
They can send their music to jingles@TonyKornheiserShow.com.
And how are we doing on moving hats and t-shirts?
We're selling a lot of hats.
Okay, that's
Rob
great.
Rob Culpian's getting some people making deals on hats.
Deal? You can make your own deal on
Well, no,
hat.
We have a listed price. It's very affordable. It's a nice-looking hat.
And how do people get those?
They can go to shop.TonyKornheiserShow.com.
James Carville joins us now. He opened well, 2-1. The one that he missed was the Bill Snyder game. The Vanderbilt actually beat Kansas State outright, but he had two big win with Tampa Bay. Big win and a win, a very late win. Last play of the game, you won on Florida. So you had a big opening week at 2-1. What have you got for us?
They're getting ready to put me in jail for being on the cell phone on the plane. But I really like a Pittsburgh, -7 at Chicago. I think the Bears are awful.
Right.
And also, I'm going to take another pro game. I'm going to take Detroit at home, getting 3 against Atlanta.
Okay. Because you liked Detroit on Monday night. You thought they were good.
I did. And I kind of I like Stafford. I think he's really good. He's coming around. Been there for a while. I just kind of I like Detroit.
Okay. I don't want you to be put in jail if you're doing this. So you want to get off the phone.
I'm getting
that's fine.
Good luck.
That's fine. Have a nice flight.
Little surprise. No pick on the Ohio Eastern Michigan tilt. Nothing on Georgia State Charlotte.
About to get arrested.
Although he did successfully shave a point from Pittsburgh, which is largely 7.5 everywhere you look.
How fantastic is that?
Amazing.
You forgot to ask him if they measured his penis before they let him on.
Because they always do that.
That's his move, right?
Yes. Wonderful.
Well, there you go. Thanks for joining us.
That was just so great.
That was a
nice
segment.
I thought in first class you can do whatever you want. You know, and stay on the phone as long as you want.
That was my impression.
Yeah.
Not back in the
business,
though.
I always have. And when people tell me to get off, I say, I'm in first class.
Those, by the way, are those commercials? Are they E-Trade commercials?
Yeah. Where the guy wanders up
at first class and the... She closes.
Yep.
Yeah. So
not
good.
For you.
After, of course, in the village where the kid's kicking the back of his seat and he's like, just get me out of here.
Yeah, it's just really good. All right, you have some news?
I do, and we will start off with Melancholy at Me Trails, Mr. Tony. Jake LaMotta, famous, obviously, for the Robert De Niro movie Raging Bull, but obviously a champion in his own right.
Very famous prior to that.
Yeah, but I mean, but long
the middleweight champion of the world.
Yes.
He was the first guy to ever beat Sugar Ray Robinson. They fought 6 times, and Robinson beat him 5 times, including the most famous fight, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, which is a TKO in the 13th round of LaMotta.
13. What was it set to go?
15?
Yeah, everything went 15.
We talked about this yesterday. We did the Melancholy Happy Trails. And I wrote the script for it. And at the end of the script, I said that Jake LaMotta's life is portrayed in the movie Raging Bull, in which Robert De Niro plays Jake and Kathy Moriarty plays Vicky. And I said, if you haven't seen this movie, turn off this show right now and go see the movie. It's great. Wilbon had it as the best sports movie he ever saw. And I think a lot of people are in that camp. De Niro gains and loses 40 pounds for the role. I mean, it's just, it's It's a great movie.
So you know the story of LaMotta at the premiere of that movie when he left the movie and turned to his wife reportedly and said, oh, my God, you know, I wasn't that bad, was I? And she said, no, you weren't. You were worse.
Yeah. So there's in the obituary in the Washington Post today, it talks about an incident in which a Post reporter is talking to Jake LaMotta. And a young, attractive woman comes up to LaMotta and hands him her phone number written on a piece of paper. And LaMotta just tosses it as if this happened every single day of his life.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway.
Lace Saliza.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Some disturbing incidents, or a disturbing incident in New York yesterday when a young fan was hit by a line drive off the bat of Todd Frazier and had to go to the hospital after that.
This is a course, young girl.
Yes.
Yeah, a young girl. Down the line, not in the area where foul balls usually come right behind home plate. There's netting in a lot of stadiums, increasing amounts of netting. And, I've sat in seats with netting. You get very used to it. I mean, there was no netting when I was a kid. And balls would come in at about 85 to 100 miles an hour, and you had a glove. People do get hit. Young children, it's particularly scary. You're supposed to sort of dive in front of them. I mean, that's part of your awareness at a ballpark. Players are horrified.
They
by
were
this.
Shook.
Yeah. Horrified. To a man. This. What do you do? What do you do? Do you put netting?
Yes.
Everywhere?
Yeah. I'll say that I've sat in some seats down there at Nats Park now where they were not netted in the past. We have a friend who has seats off the Nats dugout, so off the third baseline.
Yeah.
And it is not as enjoyable a viewing experience looking through the net as it was not. But, yeah, I think you have to. I mean, because luckily not the case here, but, I mean, someone's going to be killed by the ball. I mean, you get hit in the head with the ball.
I took you when you were a very small kid to games. We never thought about these things then. You
didn't sit with him, though. You went up.
I went to the press box. Yeah, and his sister sat alone.
I mean, he's fine. He's eight.
Yeah, I came back. I had a half a soda or something.
Don't talk to anybody.
Yeah. Kids.
Yeah. You got Bootsy. You took Bootsy to a game the other day.
We did take Bootsy to a game.
Bootsy can't catch.
No.
Not yet.
No,
so yeah,
but
his grip is getting better.
To your body. So
failing
Bootsy,
sad.
He also still only looks left, so we really have to get seats down the right field line. sadly, I'm with Chris. Even though the view is diminished, you just have to do the netting. If you look at, you start the show by talking about Stanton and Judge.
Yeah.
If you look at the velocity that these baseballs are coming off the bats, you have to.
Well, there is one other alternative. Yep. I mean, it wouldn't be popular, but that would be adult-only sections. And just say
you mean like swimming pools at country clubs?
I don't think like Adult Swim.
I don't think we're going to that.
Close.
How about wiffle ball?
I don't think we're going to that.
What? Wiffle ball?
So you all think there should be netting?
Yeah.
I just think it's
safety
inevitable.
First.
I'm surprised they haven't standardized it. To be honest, I thought they had standardized it. I thought, the Nats did it this past year. So for this season, I thought everyone did. No. I didn't realize not everyone.
Rod Manfred has made that sort of a states' rights thing.
The university wanted regulated,
but it's recommended.
Snowflake.
Yeah, and with new stadiums,
I just don't know why the government can't step in here and do something.
With new stadiums, you've actually picked up some new seat real estate by making those basically player field view levels. So you're actually getting some of those great views back. Mm-hmm. They're just in different parts of the stadium.
Yeah.
Looks like Pat Neshek and Neshek. I'm sorry. And
this is
Zach,
a great story.
Zach Greinke won't be going on any buddy adventures together.
So let me set up this story as if this were the beginning of my favorite television show, which is Hot Bench, in which they bring the people in and they say the plaintiff does this and the defendant does
three
this.
Judges.
Pat,
one take,
one opinion, one verdict. Hot Bench. Three judges, three opinions, one verdict. Hot bench. Okay. So Pat Neshek is an all-star reliever for the Colorado Rockies. And Zach Greinke is an all-star starter for the Arizona Diamondbacks. They are playing. In the all-star game, Pat Neshek, who is an admitted autograph hound, a collector of autographs. Now, I don't know if he plans on reselling them. I don't know what he does with them. All I know is that he concedes that he's a crazed autograph guy. He goes over to Greinke and he says, according to Neshek, he says, look, would you sign some things for me? And he says that Greinke says yes. So they don't play again till the other day. And Neshek, going on what he believed to be or what he says he believed to be Greinke's agreement to do this, sends over some cards to the Arizona clubhouse. Greinke doesn't sign them. Neshek sees him jogging in the outfield and says, what's the deal? Why don't you sign him? He goes, you're wearing me out. Anishek says a couple of things. Well, you said you would sign. I wouldn't even sign for your kid.
Wow.
Okay. Boom. Anishek then, armed with that, goes on a collector's website, an autograph collector's website. Not Twitter, not Facebook, a very crazed, privatized autograph collector's website.
Nigel type.
And site. Calls yeah, Grinky, and I'm quoting now, a turd. Yes.
That's kind of funny.
Whoa.
Right.
Okay, let's go around the room. Whose side are you on, Gary?
I'll take Anishek. I mean, it's not that big a deal. I mean, unless he sent over like a case of cards or something. I don't know what he sent. But assuming it was a small amount of stuff for his private collection, professional courtesy, just sign his stuff.
Chris?
Anishek, 1,000%. How can you be on Grinky's side? Sign a few. The guy's a professional athlete, just like you. It's not some like weird old dude being like, hey, can you sign this 750 cards
for me? I don't know.
Me?
I mean, he sent over a bunch of cards. I think it is a little weird. I don't think it's any different than a regular person. I just think he's using his access.
This happens in every professional sport. Players trade jerseys after a game.
Soccer.
They take photos with each other. It's sort of a professional courtesy.
Well, right. Do you remember when Rocco Mediate wanted Tiger to sign some stuff and Tiger gave him a hard time about signing it?
Well, what do we think about Tiger?
Okay. So you're with Anishek?
I'm with Anishek until he starts posting under the username Heat17 on sportscollectors.net.
Yeah, that's not
that's
best.
When I think he's taking it too far.
Okay, here's the thing. You are
what if Grinky
you are
just
really,
says, no, I don't like this guy.
Well, you're really good, and this is true, you're really good with your celebrity. You're always willing to take pictures with people. So,
except today, because I got to go to the
gym.
Okay,
but in generally,
so
generally
came
speaking.
For
not like Wilbon, who says, don't come up to me in airports.
Right, but okay, so Wilbon is a good example. If I... if I went to Wilbon, who I met when he was complaining about the chili, and I said, my kid loves you, can we just take a really quick picture together? I would assume, and I could be wrong, but because of you and I's relationship, I would assume Wilbon would be more likely to do that than if, though he might not, than if someone walked up to him in an airport. That's my broader point. That's my broader point. There is, to Michael's point, there is, you would assume, some level of professional courtesy, assuming it's not a stack of 700 cards, which we don't know.
The only reason I'm with Anishek on this is because I believe that Grinky originally said, yes, I will do it.
Yeah. If he said that, then he should probably
then I think he should honor that commitment. Yeah. But there are people who don't want to sign anything ever for any. Bill
Russell that's fine. That's different
famously didn't sign autographs. He would chat with you, but he wouldn't sign autographs.
That's different than saying you will and then being like, change my mind.
So I just found out that Grinky
has social anxiety.
Yes, I think that you have to consider that into this equation.
Grinky once said he would rather pitch with no one in the stands.
Yeah.
No one. And Grinky's a Cy Young Award winner, and he's had to overcome what seems to be sort of a terrible, debilitating circumstance for him. And so, of course, Anishek attacked him for that. Anishek,
he's a turd.
I think he's gone too far.
Going online is a little much,
What do you think happens to the next person that asks Grinky to sign something?
Well, Grinky
although he shouldn't have said, I wouldn't even sign for your kid.
Yeah.
You know, he shouldn't have said that. But he got sick of Anishek, who's
get off me.
Grinky is a Cy Young Award winner. Anishek, he's not that good, is he?
Well, he's a reliever.
Although they're going to play each other in a wild card game, aren't they?
Probably.
Oh. That could be good.
Yeah, it could be fun.
Yeah, and pitchers have to bat. What if Grinky's up there in the sixth and they bring Anishek
in? This one's for your kid.
That'd be good.
Right. Hurricane Maria, Mr. Tony, really leveled Puerto Rico. It was the first
category. No power.
Yeah, 100% power.
Gary asked a question before we went on the air. Gary asked this question. There's no power anywhere on the island, we are told. And yet every single news show has power on that island. And there seems to be power for people to bring residents on and talk about what's going on.
I mean, I understand battery-generated power and gas-generator-generated power, but and I don't mean to sound insensitive to the suffering going on down there, which is terrible, but you can't turn on television or radio without seeing or hearing someone. I mean, don't you need to, like, charge your cell phone to make a call?
I guess all the cell towers are supposed to be out as well. So.
Yeah. How does it work?
Yeah. I don't know.
I
CNN boy, how do you do it?
Well, they don't send me to those hurricane zones, surprisingly enough.
Hypochondriac.
But, yeah. This is bad. I think a mosquito bit me. I believe so. I would think that. Is that a spider bite? They have a ton of gas powered generators, but even then, you would assume there would be gas shortages. And I mean, I don't know the whole logistics.
The governor
they said
of Puerto
Rico,
4 to 6 months. For electricity. I'm sorry, that's the 19th century.
Yeah.
You can't live 4 to 6 months without any power. Huge cities, big country, you can't
and
do it.
And the fear now, the wind is gone, the rain continues. There's talk, you know, internally with the mountainous regions and stuff, mudslides and landslides. I mean, mass destruction. Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
No, let's get out of here. Oh. It's a sad note. Let's get on. Did you have something
else? Well, I know we don't have Anne on today. Did you want me to say a couple of words about the movie opening this weekend? I know we've talked about Battle of the Sexes.
Kingsman.
Kingsman, The Golden Circle. I went to see
that. Did you see the first one, Tony?
No, I saw it on TV. I thought it was fun.
Okay. Yeah, and that's exactly what it is.
It's fun.
I'm pretty sure that critics will hate this movie.
So what?
But it's fun, and seeing the theater, it's just full of lots of laughs. Yeah, it's a little cheesy at times, but you have a fun time with it. I don't really want to spoil this for everyone, but there is a great, brilliant cameo performance in this that really sort of sealed the movie for me. So I really enjoyed it.
Gandalf dies.
Didn't think I would, but it was really fun.
That's a great review. We got to have you on doing reviews more often.
Cameo I don't want to tell you about.
Well, I mean,
No, it's okay. Just hold it for yourself.
Quote, a lot of laughs.
Well, no, because you know what? You guys got it out of me when I talked about Interstellar years ago.
Yes.
And I got all this hate mail from being like, I can't believe you said that Matt Damon was in the movie. You spoiled it for me, mate.
Okay.
So I'm like gun shy about that.
We will come back with Old Guy Radio and Chuck Todd. Yes, Chuck Todd will finally pick games for us.
Yes.
He had a strong end.
3-4.
He finished 3-4.
Well, he's 1-0 this week since we've been on the air.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. He's undefeated.
That's right. All right, we'll take a break. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day is the Bob Dylan song All Along the Watchtower, as done by Jimi Hendrix.
You know this one?
Yes, in a way that Bob Dylan could never have imagined it, and is probably awed by, actually.
You have
some critical commentary on this.
Yes, we're playing this. It was released by Hendrix on this day in 1968, and he'd been working on the song. He had cut a version of it, like, basically days after Dylan, you know, released it in early 1968. And at various points, Dave Mason was playing with him on this, and Brian Jones from the Rolling Stones.
How about the Leaf Blowers? Were they playing on this?
Leaf,
that's a great group, the Leaf Blowers.
Yeah, they were really good.
They love to play loud.
It's like a moth to a flame. When we turn the microphones on, they all gather right next to us.
The thing
paid
by the
about
hour,
it, as Nigel points out, is I can confirm, I have visual confirmation, there are no leaves left to blow.
Right.
They're moving the same 10 leaves around.
By the way, to your point,
we blow on a daily basis.
Dylan's,
why can't they?
Dylan's reverence for this version of his own song. He said, I just started playing it like Jimmy did.
Yeah.
And I play it all the time. And every time I do, I'm thinking, thank you, Jimmy. That's a good tribute to him.
So Chuck Todd joins us now as the Leaf Blowers really ramp up. Chuck is probably over at the NBC studios right now. It's less than a mile from here. Can undoubtedly hear the Leaf Blowers.
Chuck, when you eclipse 500, we'll bounce these guys. But until then, you're going to have to contend with
them. No, he had a strong finish.
Yeah.
He had the same awkward beginning of going 2-0 on his first two picks and then losing a bunch of games. But strong on Monday night. So he went from 2-5 to 3-4. He's now 5-9 overall. You're feeling a little better after Monday night, aren't you?
I am. And you know, Reginald the Monkey told me I should the Minnesota-Pittsburgh game shouldn't count. So not only do I...
Well, because Bradford wasn't there.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I would also point out, for people who pay careful attention to these things, as I do, of the five winners Chuck has given you, three of them were underdog outright winners. So there might be a money line angle here with Chuck Todd that'll work for you.
All right, so let's get to the games this week. We start off with Baltimore at Jacksonville. Baltimore is only a 4-point favorite at Jacksonville. And the last time I looked, Jacksonville still had the quarterbacks that they had at the beginning of the season. So I'm a little surprised that the line is small, which makes me wary. What are your thoughts on this game?
Well, you know, as I try to get better, as I realize my reputation is on the line here, I can't keep tanking. I'm trying to do a little more research.
Okay.
And, you know, a little research is very dangerous.
Yeah.
But listen to this stat. The Ravens are 0-4 against the spread in their last four meetings, and the underdog in this game is 4-0 against the spread in the last four meetings. So that's a little scary.
So then you're going to go with Jacksonville?
Well, the idea of putting my reputation into Blake Bortles' hands seems to be an error. Although this week, got to remember, this is a Jacksonville home game at this point.
It's
right?
In England.
The owner of the Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's
the
in England.
The owner of the Jaguars owns some English Premier League team, right?
Yes,
he does.
I mean, his whole goal is to move this team out of Jacksonville at some point. So, look, Jacksonville stinks. I'm guessing I'll never put money in this game, real money in this game,
right,
because I think the Ravens are terrible at covering spreads. But you got to go with the Ravens.
Okay,
I'll go with them.
You're going to give the four. That's an early game
I'll
on Sunday.
You
can
watch
early.
The four. That's the, and you know, we Meet the Press viewers hate these early games,
right? Because they conflict with the press. Right.
So I'm very spiteful. The only time we like it is if the game appears on CBS and interrupts my friend John Dickerson's show.
All right.
That's it. You know, that's the only time I like these London games.
All right, the team of your youth, at least by geography, Miami, is at the New York Jets. The Jets are a terrible team. But Miami giving six in a division game, giving six seems like a lot to me. You have not gone for home dogs as much as the book says you should. Will you hear?
Well, first of all, there's a reason. I stopped doing that in the NFL a few years ago. You know, I used to abide by, and it was something I learned on your old radio show. I remember Carville one time said, there's always a couple of weeks during the season where there are six or more home dogs for some reason.
Yeah.
Any time that is, you just go with all of them. But, you know, it just doesn't work anymore because I think home field advantage in the NFL is losing its sway. You know, there's a handful of stadiums where there is a home field advantage, but more and more, you know, with the, you know, the fans are lackadaisical in most mm-hmm. cities. And mm-hmm.
Also, so, Chuck, you know, SeatGeek, stuff like that, it makes it a lot easier than it was when Chuck and I were young to buy tickets in other places.
Very legit observation.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah, and so, right, you have a lot of almost like sports tourists and all this stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, when you brought up my youth, this game used to be the Monday night game.
Oh,
Jets,
sure.
Dolphins.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, sure.
Huge. And every game always was some 52-45 shootout between Marino and whatever mediocre Jets quarterback.
Chuck, wasn't it Jets-Dolphins, the Schwarzenegger game Monday night where he came in and said, I don't think they're done, and Testa Verde brought the Jets back? Do you guys remember that
right,
game?
Yeah.
I think that was this matchup, yeah.
Okay.
Vinny used to – anyway, God, Vinny, he was one of the best bad quarterbacks in the NFL, wasn't he?
He was terrific. Always Long Island boy.
I love those.
Sewanica High School. Sewanica or Elmont, I'm not
great,
sure.
Great
remember
mullet,
the old
flash,
Tampa Bay Bucks unis, too?
Bro.
Yeah.
So who you got? Do you have Miami or the
All
Jets?
All right, I'm going with Jay Cutlerface.
Okay.
Give me Jay Cutlerface because the Jets stink.
Okay.
They stink.
Here's a game, another home dog, but this time it's a 2-0 home dog. That's the Detroit Lions, who you bet on Monday night. Atlanta looked really good against Green Bay. Atlanta goes to Detroit.
Yeah.
They have an extra day to rest. They are -3. A little surprising to me, but they are -3.
Yeah, I think they're looking let down, is my guess, in Vegas. And the Lions have a way of – this game could be a 10-point game, and you could smell the backdoor cover by the Lions late. That's why you won't see me putting real money on this. But give me the Falcons indoors on the road.
Okay.
You know, I think if it's for an outdoor road game, I'd go with the home dog. Indoor road game, give me the Falcons.
The New York Giants go on the road. They are getting six. They lost on Monday night. They appear to be inept on offense at this point. Their coach and their quarterback are not best of friends probably today. Philadelphia is not a bad team. Philadelphia has had two close games, and they won one of them. Six is a lot of points, division game. What do you got?
That's too many points. I listened to Jason yesterday. I agree with him that the Giants stink.
Yes.
But that's a lot of points. I'm with you. I think that they rally for I think this is a, oh, my God, we can't go 0-3 game. So give me the Giants to cover those points at least to keep it a close game.
Four road teams in a row by Chuck Todd. Four road teams. Kansas City at the L.A. Chargers. Kansas City only giving three to a team that loses – by three or fewer every time it's in a game that's decided by three or fewer. What do you got?
By the way, I do believe that you guys are intentionally trying to make me look bad as a football picker because you pick the games that no actual football gambler would
people
ever
love.
Nigel
people
does
love
it.
Jets Dolphins.
Nigel picks these games.
Yeah, of course. You're right. He picks the games that nobody would actually put real money on because of what you just said. I hate Charger games, and I hate Chiefs road games.
Right.
The Chiefs, they hate to cover. They oh my God, we're favored. We can't cover on the road. We'll only cover at home.
Why is Chuck making excuses against the monkey?
I know, because I don't want to lose to the monkey every week. I mean, I know. I just like to beat the monkey 1 week. That's right. All. I just want to beat the monkey 1 week. Look, give me the better team, but I know I'm going to regret this. So give me the Chiefs.
By the way, I had the
dog
most...
Dog likes the pick.
Dog, what? Yeah, dog likes the pick. Dog. I really... I, we had dinner. We had dinner Sunday
what is that,
night.
A Doberman?
Charlie Steiner and Chuck Todd and I, we had a wonderful dinner on Saturday night at the
pond. Was it only a... Yeah, exactly.
Right.
A yappy dog?
Yeah.
Were there only three seats available at the table?
No, five, because Carol was there and Chuck's wife was there.
So yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, I just thought...
No, I guess I just miscalculated
about something. It's fine.
And Tony, Gary and I agree. That was just a wonderful dinner.
Delicious. Really, very nice really you to pick fun. Up, yeah. too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tony, you were supposed to tell Chris.
Yeah.
I thought you were.
Sure. Okay. Chuck, that only works 10 times.
Yeah. Dallas -3 at Arizona. Arizona is a very bad team this year. It's a bad. Arizona is to the NFC what Cincinnati is to the AFC. This. Dallas had a bad loss last week. Dallas on the road at Arizona, where Dallas fans in the past used to come out like 20, 30,000 Dallas fans. Will you give the 3 and take a road team again?
Yeah, only because I think you love the fact that I keep taking these road teams. I think you believe this is a Shakespearean tragedy.
I don't anticipate you'll take them all. I don't.
I hear you, but... Arizona's, how are they going to score points?
I don't know.
I can't figure that out. I think that and I'm with you. I think it becomes a Cowboys de facto home game. I think Arizona fans are going to stop. You know, they got into that team for a couple years. They're not going to bother going to see a bad team. So give me Dallas.
All right. And to go for the complete sweep, the Oakland Raiders Sunday night at Washington. There's no question that Oakland is a better team. But they're also traveling a long distance to play against a team that they can't have much regard for. These are the kinds of games where upsets happen. Will you take Oakland and give the 3, or will you take the hometown Washington Redskins?
Well, I can tell you what I'm going to do in real life. In real life, I don't care what the over-under is. I'm going with the over. I think this game's going to be a shootout.
Right.
I think this game's going to be a lot of fun. And, in fact, I use this to convince my son to start Kirk Cousins over Carson Wentz and his fantasy football team this week, because I'm just convinced that Oakland will be ahead big, Cousins will make it close, but I can't assume the Redskins can. I don't think they can beat Oakland, and therefore I don't think they can cover 3 points.
So you went all through. By the way, so I'm in communication with Al Michaels, and I want, because they're going to be here for this game, right? This is the Sunday night game.
Sunday nighter, yes.
Yeah, so I say, you know, why don't we get together? And he goes, No, I'll just leave it. I'll leave a ticket for you. And I go, I'm not going out there. And he goes, well, that's it. Goodbye. So that was really
I'm
going
to sit in my hotel room and stare at the wall.
That's your friendship with Al Michaels?
Yeah, I mean, he just basically said, you know, I'm not going to, I can't be bothered with you. Even though I like him very, very much and he likes me. But that, you know what? That's okay. You went all 7. You went all 7 road teams.
I believe in miracles.
Okay.
Al Michaels doesn't, but I believe in miracles.
I hope that this works for you. We'll talk to you next week. We'll see.
You pick the worst. Come on.
Nigel, give him easy games from now on.
I promise you.
All right.
I will still make money this weekend. I just won't bet most of these games.
It's okay. All right. Thank you, Chuck.
Goodbye.
Chuck Todd, boys and girls. And if we just gave you Chuck Todd, wouldn't that be enough?
That'd be great.
It'd be enough for me.
At 5-9, who wouldn't love that?
But what else do we do?
Some folks like to pick the games, some are pundits, some are monkeys too. Some may work down at Meet the Press, or in a cage down at the National Zoo. Reginald, he's a veteran, he's done this a time or two. Now Chuck Todd's picking games for Tony too.
Nice. Yes, thank you to Joe Arrow for that.
So
yes,
great.
We do love that. And yes, I did go down. I went down to the National Zoo.
Reggie 4-2, by the way.
4-2 overall. Two and one weeks.
That's what the monkey does. And when I went down there, he was busy at work tidying up the cage with a leaf blower. That's what he likes to do. But he put it down for a minute. And the first thing I told him when I got there was that Kent Tekulve is actually alive.
Yes, he is.
He was overjoyed.
I hadn't heard that.
Yes, he was overjoyed. And so the first game we gave him was Detroit. getting three at home versus Atlanta, and he whipped out a film projector and showed me a coach's film of him scrimmaging in what appeared to be 1988 with the Bad Boys. So he's a part of that team.
Oh, really?
I guess as a practice player.
With Ruland and with...
Yeah, and with Bill Lambert.
There was a couple I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, a couple of plays where he really tangled up with... Yeah, Mahorn, throwing elbows. But by the way, Reginald, deadly at the free throw line. If you foul him, he's going to sink them. So clearly he's got ties to Detroit. He'll take the Lions and take the three as well. Now, the next game again was Philly giving six at home against the Giants. And he showed me a photograph of him, Sir Charles, Gary Maddox, and Michael Jack Schmidt eating cheesesteaks and having milkshakes by the Rocky statue.
So he's going with the Eagles.
Yeah, he's going with the Eagles.
And he's going to give six.
Going to give six.
Wow.
Does no respect for the Giants. We'll see. And, of course, we always give him the Redskins.
Sure.
And the Redskins getting three at home versus Oakland on Sunday night. And I'm surprised you didn't know about this, but this is an old photograph. I think it might have been from the Washington Post of him playing polo with the Squire. It appeared to be in Bermuda.
That's right. Polo?
Yeah.
I didn't realize his arms would, with the mallet.
Well, I know that he knew he and the Squire's dog Coco go way back.
Yes,
I knew
that. That's wonderful. All right, we will get out of here on that. We will come back with jingles and email when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Well, you've got your board games and your paper aeroplanes. Sand is on the list. Air and water are just the same. But no Hall of Fame for playing with fire.
That's pretty good.
Johnny O likes rock and sock. Ain't on the list. Eight ball, it's rock solid. Gang says it can't miss. But no Hall of Fame for playing with fire.
This is from Jim Fleming in Garrett Park, Maryland, who writes, on Thursday you read the email of a little who said that if sand was nominated to the Toy Hall of Fame, then air and water should be considered. It occurred to me that those questionable substances aside, fire would never be nominated. Inspired by this realization, fellow Garrett Parker Gabe Mandel and I, following the footsteps of legendary Garrett Parker Nils Lofgren and channeling Mick and the boys, submit our lamentation on fire's exclusion from the list of nominees. By the way, Gabe is a brilliant writer-producer who makes music under the name Fricka. I've attached one of his songs, Ghost, and we played that the other day for consideration for the real music part of the show. The vocal on track is provided by Cuts. As always, let's cheese around.
Really good. Welcome to the show.
Really good.
Yes. Fleming.
Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report, to James Carville, who gave us 10 seconds on the airplane before being arrested. And to meet the press host, Chuck Todd, for coming on the show. I'd also like to thank our sponsors today, MeUndies and SeatGeek. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Bill Ennis in Nixon, Missouri, Dear Dr. Wolf, Wall of Fame.
Oh, yes.
We call my two-year-old grandson Bootsy. To be honest, he also answers to Tarzan and Francis, as in Lighten Up Francis. But he seems to like Bootsy the best. This weekend, he proclaimed that he is little Bootsy and I am big Bootsy, because even at my advanced age, I am still taller than a two-year-old. From Joel Betts in Atlanta, Georgia. I thought I would forward this on to you, since you might be interested. My father sent me this picture of an orange sport coat, and Nigel has printed out the picture, but it does not have color, that he was planning on buying a few days ago. When I called to ask him what in God's name he was thinking, he said, it's marked down to $29 and I have a 50% off coupon. When I asked where he might wear it, he said he didn't know, but it was too good a price to turn down. He called me last night from the same store because my mother needed to return something and said, the orange coat is now down to $25.
Oh.
Your mother has another 50% coupon. Should I get one for you?
Couldn't resist.
I said no, but someone I know, because I listened to him on a podcast, might. It probably would match the orange pants you got for free. And think about it, a whole outfit that you paid about $13 for. They've got a 42 long at the store.
It's a nice looking coat.
A deal as much as my father. I wanted to know he'd be happy to pick it up for you. Whoa, that is brutally orange.
Yeah.
That is. Well, but a 42 long.
Burnt orange.
That's it.
UT.
John from Charlotte. Mr. Tony, after listening to your discussion of numbers associated with Bootsy's birthday, it got me thinking about my grandson, Brady. He was born on 4/14/14 at 10:14 in the morning, wow, weighing 7 pounds, 14 ounces. And wow, to top it off, the last four digits of his Social Security number are 14/14. Needless to say, 14 is my new lottery number. Maybe you can start a whole segment on numerology. I know you'd find it interesting. From Eric, who says, Eric in Dumbo. What is Dumbo?
It's that area down under Manhattan Bridge overpass.
Okay, fine. As a longtime resident of Tenleytown, I can provide some clarity on the local Taco Bell situation. While the closest one is on Georgia Avenue along the Silver Spring, D.C. border, the drive-thru situation is not conducive for a Cadillac. Didn't you smash up your car in a Burger King drive-thru the way back? I did.
Yeah,
my recommendation is the Taco Bell on Rockville Pike across from Woodmont. My wife, son, dog, and I would have a weekly rendezvous in the parking lot where epic amounts of fire and Diablo sauce were consumed. Also, just so you're aware, there are 12 mattress stores along your route in case you find yourself in need. Please don't read my name on the air.
That's info for life.
He has a son, dog.
From Jason in Hilton Head, South Carolina. Forget about a box of that with Taco Bell.
I ate a box.
After your endorsement the last two shows, they need to pony up with a moving truck filled with swag and maybe throw in a franchise for Bootsy. From Rachel Abrams, dear Dr. Tony and team, it makes me so sad to hear the many emails you get mocking Chris Saliza. He's my favorite regular on the show. Surely I can't be the only little who gets weak in the knees when he's on.
Oh, you can.
Chris's mom, right?
Please tell Chris I'm totally crushing on him and dream of watching Dawson's Creek reruns.
Send a picture.
Yeah,
so wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, really appreciate that.
You do that with fans.
Can you just forward that to me if you would?
From Jake Erdmans in Gilbert, Arizona. Your Tony hats are not selling. Here's a solution. Cross out the N and the Y and replace it with R-I-E because Tory is great and I would wear one. From Alex Lau in New York City. It's a shame you didn't have the new sponsor Simply Safe for your garden before your tomatoes were burgled. Though to be fair, I think we can safely narrow down the suspects to either Jameis Winston, who's graduated from stealing crab legs from supermarkets to tomatoes from your garden, or Peter Yarrow, who mistakenly thought it was his friend's garden. From Jeff Turner in Weston, Florida. I know Weston. Since you were so impressed with Scherzer's stats prior to giving up his first Grand Slam. No, it was not Scherzer. It was Kershaw's stats.
Yes.
This should really get you giddy in the land of pleasant living. Natty Bowen, Jason Lockenfora. Jim Palmer pitched in 558 games, 3,948 innings from 1965 to 1984 without giving up a single Grand Slam. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
But we don't have the chaputzvah to do it.
Thank you all.
Cause I don't believe that I can change or rearrange the shit that bothers me at all. Yeah, you gotta wake up, you gotta make it up as you go along. You gotta fake it, but don't take it. It'll be alright if you can hang on tight. Hey, it's just another day. It's the same old thing that happened yesterday. Hey, I pissed it all away. It's the same old thing, getting by until I die. All this me nowhere, that didn't change at all. I'm sick of trying just to turn it all inside and out. Then I get up so they can push me right back down on my face. I won't compromise what's in my head, but on my sleeve, it's something I forgot about.
Something I forgot about.